three rocks had been alive, growing and reproducing like plants and animals. It was then that the title of a book I had been sculpting for several years emerged into clear relief. The Death of Nature was christened. Thinking back on that summer of magic, I am awed by the concatenation of personal, intellectual, and social events that led to the formation of the book's thesis. The influences on my life and their intersections with history seem an odd coupling of chance occurrences, mundane events, and strange flashes of understanding. During the 1960s and 70s, the women's movement sparked by Betty Friedan's Feminine Mystique, 1963, the environmental movement propelled by Rachel Carson's Silent Spring, 1962, and the social upheavals of the civil rights and anti-war movements formed my nascent social consciousness. I entered the environmental movement in the fall of 1959 in a baptism by fire. On my first date with my ex-husband, we went out and burned a Wisconsin prairie. The following spring, a multicolored carpet of exquisite native wildflowers adorned a hillside that had been nearly obliterated by encroaching aspens. Working together to save native prairies for the Nature Conservancy, debating the consequences of Rachel Carson's expose of pesticides, and pondering the impact of world population on food supplies, I absorbed an environmental ethic early on in the emerging ecological movement. I spent most of the 1960s as a graduate student in the University of Wisconsin's provocative program in the history of science, studying the origins of the modern scientific revolution, and drafting a dissertation on Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz's concept of living force. I had always been in love with science, especially physics, and was awed by the beauty of its mathematical derivations, simplicity of explanation, and clarity of worldly description. My childhood and high school joy over biology turned to a fascination with chemistry in college, ultimately leading me to the pursuit of physics and then history of science in graduate school. Raising two sons sensitized me to the problems of housewife and career, and I devoured Friedan's Feminine Mystique when it appeared. I applied for and received one of the nation's first fellowships designed to support women with children who were attempting to finish graduate school, at which task I ultimately succeeded. By the late 1960s, the stage was set for the three themes that would subsequently comprise the subtitle of The Death of Nature: Women, Ecology, and the Scientific Revolution. Lacking, however, was the conceptual glue that would soon knit them together. The events of the 1970s in my new home in Berkeley, California, would provide that sinew. I began teaching physical science at the University of San Francisco, USF, amid the social turmoil over the bombing of Cambodia, the emergence of Earth Day 1970, and the questioning of the role played by science in the new electronic battlefield directed at North Vietnam. With our Chinese-American neighbors, my sons and I joined in San Francisco peace marches and worked to integrate the Berkeley schools. As a young woman on fire with the conventional beauty of science, I was poised at a unique moment in which my personal experiences came into juxtaposition with the social implications of the scientific domination of nature. I began investigating the character of science in terms of its implications for women and nature. Inspired by the widespread questioning of 1950s assumptions about science, society, and mainstream values, I started re-evaluating the meaning of my earlier work in the history of science. The history of mechanics as a system of matter in motion, on which I had done my graduate work, took on new implications when set against a Renaissance cosmology of animate spirits and ensouled beings in which everything was alive. What role did the history of the scientific revolution play in the way we in the late 20th century world were conducting our lives? What historical alternatives, both real and utopian, had challenged some of the excesses of mainstream society?